Chapter 10, Unity. Part 1, Finding Unity Within. Positive Affirmation. The Spirit in you enlivens the Spirit in me. In this two-part chapter, we will be exploring the topic of unity. In the first part, we will explore what unity is and how we can foster a relationship with the consciousness of unity in ourselves and with others. In the second part, we will explore how to create unity within our communities. This is important because by understanding the concepts of this topic, it will not only benefit ourselves, but our community. When we are united, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. We unconsciously seek to find our own likeness in others. But when we see our reflection in them, it can have different effects on us. We can embrace the likeness we see when it reflects what we want to be or what we admire in people, or we can reject it when it reflects what we dislike about ourselves. When we see our own wounds or dislikes about ourselves and others, we often have little tolerance for it. If unity is only explored within the constraints of our minds, it will remain nothing more than a concept. For the importance and value that unity holds needs to be experienced and not described. And we can only experience unity with others when we embrace the world around us and look deeply within it. We are much better together than we are apart, and unity reveals its ultimate power when it's embraced by an entire community. As our communities grow bigger and bigger, we sometimes lose the unity once embraced. The desire to know each other and to give to each other fades as we get too caught up in our own lives. By embracing the concepts shared in this chapter, we enliven the spirit of unity in our communities, clearing and fertilizing our soil for unity to grow. The very nature of the spark we carry in our souls seeks to be in unity with others. When we experience solidarity with one another, it invokes memories of our origin. It causes us to remember that we all come from the flame of God. Knowing our true self, the part of us that rests deep in our soul, will help us understand others. In our quiet moments, we come closer to our souls. By placing our attention on the most silent part of ourself, we become open to the possibility of experiencing unity. Knowing our true self, the part of us that rests deep in our soul, will help us understand others. In our quiet moments, we become closer to our souls. By placing our attention to the most silent part of ourselves, we become open to the possibility of experiencing unity. To grasp the gravity of this, you must have your own experience. My aim is to inspire you to search for unity in you. What is it that ties you to the world and the people we live with? Unity is a divine truth. There is a rapid discovery of that truth when we love one another, for love itself lives in the heart of unity. When you look for admirable traits in another, you're most likely to accept and care, nurture, and build tolerance towards others. This mindset helps you create a deep connection with people, because the possibility of unity is sparked by connecting with another. When you look for differences in others and pull back from people because of what you find, you diminish the chance of finding the unity that coexists between you and another. The only distance between you and I is what your mind creates. By meeting the world with kind eyes and an open heart, you decrease the distance between you and others. In turn, this summons the spirit of unity to come and join you. This spirit is the premise of how you can create a sacred relationship. A sacred relationship delivers you into the purpose of joining together with another. It will also lead you to a more purposeful life. What is unity? The heart of unity houses many guests. Contentment is one of them. Unity is a truth, an absolute that lives within our consciousness. The experience of unity decreases the desire for temporary external experiences. Unity's formless nature begins to fill the void in us that we've been trying to fill all of our lives and allows us to experience a deep contentment within. The acquisition of material things loses its appeal when the consciousness of unity begins to gift us with its presence and fills us up with contentment and awareness of a greater truth. Contentment is found on the path to peace. With contentment, you are able to deeply surrender. There's nothing grasping at you, nor are you grasping at anything. You may have experienced many enlightened moments in your life when you feel alive and at peace. The experience of unity can visit you in the same way. The degree and depth to which you will experience the consciousness of unity cannot be wished or willed into your life. It's truly a gift that's given to you by the grace of God. As a spiritual seeker or someone who desires to be at peace, all one needs to do is keep surrendering and letting go. In your most fearless and desireless state, unity dissolves your soul into the great cosmic ocean of oneness. Releasing you of your karmic ties to this life, you are returned to the oneness of God. Layers of unity. Unity has many layers. On the surface, unity can be the spirit that joins us when we gather together as a collective unit. Indeed, the spirit that joins us is the power of unity. By coming together, our potential is greatly amplified. If we unite and love is our purpose, there occurs an even greater amplification of power to co-create in the most beautiful reality. Love invites God to be present. When the consciousness of unity permeates you, a deep sense of completeness washes over you. It leaves you desireless for anything other than this moment. The depth of unity does not end there. By going deeper, you will discover that the spirit of unity comes from within. Everything we've already spoken about holds true, but you learn that it's not an external presence rather than an internal one. At this stage, unity is a consciousness that is embraced. By embracing this consciousness, you dissolve the separateness with the external world and all of its parts, which brings about great understanding and acceptance of all things. When the consciousness of unity is embraced within you, it eradicates the how and why that your mind projects on most of the aspects of life. The experience of unity silences the mind, leaving you with a sense of reverence for life. The need for change is not necessary, but still welcome if it comes. In this state of consciousness, the grace and perfection of life is understood in a much deeper context. There's no guarantee, however, that an experience of a higher state of consciousness will last or return to you again. Its presence is simply a gift to you. There can never be an unknowing of truth once it reveals itself to you. Being vigilant in your devotion to God allows deeper states of consciousness to unfold. But it's important to remember that the mind can creep back in and take over with its commentary. But this is not the end of the depth that unity offers. There's still so much deeper one can go. The next stage, though, is total surrender into unity, the total union that some of the enlightened masters would have experienced. It's not something you can will into your experience. It comes as a profound gift to those who have deep spiritual merit and can only happen if appropriate conditions are available within the master. It will require total abandonment of one's ego and a very high level of consciousness. Unifying yourself with others. The following are a few quotes about unity. They speak to the importance and value of coming together with others and the great power that unity holds and promises us. This is the positive side of coming together. Helen Keller, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. Thomas Paine, it's not in numbers but in unity that our greatest strengths lie. In Matthew 18:20, For where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The power of unity can have a negative effect as well. It's important to know whom and what we are unifying with. Be aware there are people or groups with whom it would be unhealthy for you to align. Alignment expands beyond the people you're spending your time with. For example, who do you work for? Does your employer have integrity? Where do you shop? Do the businesses you support treat their staff well? Do they acquire their products in a fair and ethical manner? How do the products and causes you support affect the environment or animals? People often say they cannot fix the world's problems, but you can start by looking at our practices and associations. By remaining true to our morals, we can make a difference, for we are no longer unifying with negative forces in the world. Reserve your power to align with what is found in the heart. The social media effect. Social media is having a massive effect on how we connect and communicate, but it has its pros and cons. It can draw people closer and remove the distance between them, and this helps create unity. One of the greatest benefits of social media is how it can reconnect you with old friends, help you make new ones, find local events. All these aspects are helpful in creating more unity between people. On the other side of the coin, it's important to have real interactions with people rather than just virtual ones. Your presence and time spent with your friends and family holds great value. Nothing ever stays the same, and for the most part, that's a good thing. But how many social media platforms are needed? When did life get so disconnected that we need to spend our time glued to our phones? Balance is a key. Social media can be a powerful tool to spread positive messages and help bring people together. The world is a wonderful place that is full of interesting people. Make time to engage with them. Whether it's a stranger at the mall or the person next to you in a coffee shop, you just never know what you might experience. Unifying with God. He who experiences a unity of life sees his own self in all beings, and all beings in his own self, and looks on everything with an impartial eye. He who sees me in everything, and everything in me, him I shall never forsake, nor shall he lose me. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. Unifying with God calls you to set yourself down. When you do this, you give God the opportunity to arise in you with all of God's glory. Be alone with God. Come to God empty of yourself. In your aloneness with God, there's a great comfort and unity with our Lord. Many guests in your mind can be very distracting. When you give yourself over to God without distraction, God reveals itself to you. The depth to which you will discover your aliveness in God is endless. Dissolve any sense of you in the presence of God. You do this with practice. The idea is to keep practicing until there's no longer a you that is trying. The barrier to unifying with God is your mind. When your attention is placed on thinking and thoughts or anything outside of you, you give yourself over to that. It has your attention now. By making God your only focus, you amplify God's presence in you. Part 2, how to create unity in your community. Positive affirmation. The greatness in me is needed by others. When I share myself, the world becomes a better place. In the second part of this chapter, I hope to inspire you through some of my personal stories. My experience with unity consciousness has been liberating. One of the things I feel we're losing today is our sense of community. In all our efforts to claim our separateness and individuality, we might be taking it a little too far. We need each other, and we're better together. There are many ways to create and inspire unity in our communities. By bridging the gap between people, we inspire and create connectedness. We build community. It may take time to see the difference, but no act is too small when it comes to loving the world and other people. Our contributions add more than we may realize. I encourage you to find your own ways to help and create a deeper sense of connectedness in your community. By embracing this concept, we can inspire our community to come together in love and care for one another. Give to your community. The first act we do to create unity is to give. One of the hardest parts about giving can be knowing what to give and when to give it. Just give whatever you can from the place you're in. You have more to work with than you may realize. All that is required for you to give is to keep your eyes open and being willing to respond to what is right next to you. When you see someone in need, give. Hold the door for a stranger. Pay it forward at the coffee shop. Pick up something when someone drops it. Hold a fundraiser and donate the money. The list goes on and on. This very simple concept will add value to your interactions with your community. A quick and effective way to give is by asking, how can you help? This simple question removes the mystery. There are a million ways for you to give from one moment to the next. If you have skills in any area, use your talents to help others. Some of my greatest experiences have come from volunteering in my community. I've been a big brother and volunteered for those with special needs and in palliative care. Each one of these placements helped me grow as a person and helped support and build my community. The rewards you see from giving to your community far outweigh what it takes from you. My time as a big brother. In my early 30s, I volunteered as a big brother for several years. It was a wonderful experience for me. I tried to use my time with my little brothers to learn how to connect with their community and communicate better. When I was invited to a powwow by a friend on a reserve in Northern Ontario, I decided to ask my little brother if he wanted to join me. He did, and it was an enjoyable day. We met lots of people and learned a few things. We ate some great food and had a small road trip to boot. On our way back to the main highway from the powwow, I had a feeling we should turn right, even though I knew this would not lead us home. I decided I would leave the decision in the hands of my little brother. I pulled the car over and told him we had a dilemma. I explained to him what my intuition had told me and the problem that it would cause. We have a choice here, I said. We can go on an adventure, or if you've had enough adventures, we can continue home. He promptly said he was up for the adventure. I did not know how far we would have to go or what we'd find in the process, but I too was up for the adventure. I told my little brother that we both needed to keep our eyes open for any signs that might lead us in the right direction. We stopped at an antique mall. Neither of us had any hits there. Next, we stopped at a store, and again, nothing special happened. Then we both spotted a sign for an art gallery. We need to check this place out, I told him. As we were pulling into the laneway, an older gentleman, whose paintings were on display in the gallery, was just locking the door. As he was starting to walk away, we both stepped out of the car, and he informed us that he was closed for the day. I told him that's not a problem, and we'd drop by another time. But just as we were about to get into the car, the old man turned around and said, "Why don't you come on in? I'm not doing anything right now anyways." The gallery had a musty smell that hit us as soon as we walked in. When I looked at the dates on the paintings, I found out why. He had painted most of them before I was born. He then led us into another room where there were better paintings and the smell was better as well. Both rooms contained many nature paintings of wildlife. As we made our way to the back of his gallery, the paintings got much better. The last room we entered, which was bright and sunny, contained his most current works. The room smelled great and the paintings caught my attention. The first thing I noticed that there was an addition here to the nature scenes he was painting. These works were spiritual, included messages from the Bible like Jacob's ladder, the burning bush, Jesus, and more. I asked him a few questions since he was such an accomplished artist, and I let him know that I too was an artist. I asked if he had any advice for me. An hour and 45 minutes later, he stopped talking, and I picked my jaw up off the floor. Over the course of our lengthy conversation, his advice was simple, humble, and direct. He taught me about my duty as an artist and how I was to serve people with the gifts that come through me. His instructions taught me how to respect others and build community with my art. Here are his instructions. 1. Give yourself over to your canvas. I was to surrender to the process of allowing my work to use me as a vessel. 2. Always remain humble in your endeavors. Even when a crowd assembles around you to watch you work, don't boast or brag. Always remember that we are just artists and we're not saving the world. 3. Treat your customers well and make them feel as if they're the most important persons in the interaction. 4. Love being an artist. After what felt like a divinely inspired conversation, my little brother and I got back in the car. We both knew it was time to come home. This meeting with the old man was truly a gift to us. Those are the kind of gifts I still carry with me today. By taking time to interact with a stranger, we both learned some valuable lessons. His instructions covered more than how to be an artist. They were instructions of how to build community. 1 was give, surrender. 2, practice humility. 3, be kind and caring. And 4, love. Show respect to your elders. Respect all those we meet in the community, especially our elders. By being respectful and kind to our elders, we as individuals create and enhance unity in the community. My life has been greatly enhanced by the time I've spent with the older generations. I've gained a great deal of wisdom by being quiet and listening to my elders. Respecting my elders was a gift my parents taught me. As a young boy, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. She was deaf, so going to her house was different in some ways. It was very quiet in her home. She didn't have a radio, and the sound was always off on her television. I remember playing cards with her on many occasions, and we'd pass notes back and forth to each other. My favorite times, though, were when we stopped writing notes and we'd just sit quietly with each other. It felt like she was teaching me through the silence we shared. This was her wisdom for me. I learned a great deal about my grandma during these times. Take time to be with elders in your life. Be patient with them and willing to learn from the lessons they have for you. Our elders have valuable lessons to pass on to the generations that follow. Age does not guarantee wisdom, but by looking for the best in people, we generally find something to admire and a lesson that can be learned. Showing respect for others requires personal strength to remain true to our own moral conduct. If someone treats you poorly, remain true to who you are, even in the face of adversity. This always helps diffuse the situation much quicker. Years ago, the operator of a press I was working on kept turning up the speed until I was barely able to keep up. The longer this continued, the madder I became, until I considered punching my coworker in the face. But I decided the best thing for me to do is to leave the situation before I did something I was going to regret. I stopped the line and said I had to use the washroom. I was at war in my mind. I really wanted to go back out and start swinging, but I knew that decision would only lead to heartache. In that moment, I asked myself, what was I going to do? Then a brilliant flash, a diagram came to mind. I had a choice. The seemingly easy choice was to return to the press and come out swinging, but I knew this result was an uphill battle that would not serve me well. If I made the right choice and just went back out and did the best with a smile, the rest of my day was bound to get better. I had a hard choice to make. I went back out and I told my operator, who'd been doing my job since I left the press, that I was sorry I was not being a team player. He looked shocked when he heard my words. The rest of that day we worked together and we actually had a lot of fun. Be aware of the differences that blind us to the unity that binds us. Houston Smith. In our search for unity, we are drawn to people who share common traits, but it's very important to embrace the difference in our community and search for the goodness in others. In Jack Kornfield's book, After the Ecstasy, The Laundry, he tells a story of his trip to a Buddhist monastery. Upon arrival, he noticed that there were all kinds of kids and farmers living in the monastery. While being escorted to his room, they informed him that he had to bow to his elders. So he asked for clarity as to who his elders were. They told him they were anyone or anything that had been there longer than he. He found it difficult to bow to the kids running around and not respecting the senior monks, or to the farmers who were just sitting out the winter doing nothing in the monastery. However, after a while, he learned that bowing was much easier when he found things in others to bow to. When he bowed to the screaming children running in the halls, he was bowing to their youthfulness. And when he had to bow to a farmer, he bowed to the wrinkles around his eyes that were a sign of all the work he had put into Mother Earth. What he found over time was that there was always something to bow to in everyone he met. I adopted this mindset years ago, and it's been very helpful for me to learn how to become less judgmental and humbler with my community. I started to look for what I could bow to in people. I worked for a time as a volunteer with a support service for people with special needs. Ingersoll Support Services wanted to try sound therapy and relaxation for the supported, and I was asked if I would come and start a program doing drumming for some of the people with special needs. I learned more than I ever thought possible from this group of individuals. I committed to 1 year, and after 2.5 years, I could barely peel myself away from the group. Even though this group of people were very different from me, they taught me a lot. They were kind, honest, and real people. They added a great deal of love to my life and taught me about how to be patient, kind, authentic, and how to love unconditionally. Every week, one of the guys from the group would come to my store. He did this by walking right past his destination, the support services center where I was doing my volunteer work, so I could give him a ride back, during which we'd stop for coffee and a bagel. One day I was feeling down in the dumps. I had had a very stressful week. I wasn't myself that day, and when I looked over at my friend, I could see he was worried about me. Our drive that day was very quiet until I asked him, "Can you feel what I'm feeling?" He said that he could, and he asked if I was okay. I told him I was fine and I'm sorry for being so down. After a few minutes, he turned to me and said, "Ned, how about for today, I'll live in your heart and you can live in mine." At which point I burst into tears. That young man taught me the true meaning of kindness. He taught me it was okay to not be okay, and that just because he and I were very different, we still served a great purpose being in each other's lives. He and I were better together than we were apart. I needed his friendship to inspire me to return to the love in my heart, and he needed me to be the friend that day. I also needed to keep buying this young man coffees and bagels. Clearly, he had gifts to teach me. I have such fond memories of my time with this group. When I reflect on the experiences I had with this group, I now realize that they were gifts from God to me. They came at a time when I needed the most love. I came into their lives trying to make a difference and brighten their days. Their presence in my life changed me. Share yourself with unconditional love. This is a favorite quote from my wife. I love how it reminds me to do my best. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Author unknown. We all have gifts to offer this world. There's no such thing as a small role here. At times we play small in the roles we take on, but even in the smallest roles, we can play a big part. Make life about sharing yourself and putting 100% into whatever you're doing. By sharing our gifts with the world, we actualize our purpose. There's no greater instructions for us in this life than our purpose. For our purpose was given to us by God. It is our special and unique instructions on how to live our life. Sharing yourself requires that you be present. If you are lost in your mind, you're not giving your full potential to the moment. Have you ever had a friend that dropped by to visit, but instead of visiting you, they were glued to their phone? Showing up for life means you put down your cell phone and engage the world around you. Share your thoughts with a stranger. Perform an act of kindness. But most importantly, share who you are with others. Show people what is important and special about you. One of my old friends used to say, "There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people waiting for you to wake up and start living what you came here to do." I believe this to be true. When I've stepped up and really lived my purpose, I've been involved in things that have had a massive impact on my community. It's everyone's job to help create unity in their community. There is so much to discover in others, more than meets the eye. The greater aspect of what unity holds for us is discovered in the silence we share with one another. It's found in the unseen forces that make up the spark of our soul. Your life is meant to be a collaborative, co-creating adventure with God and with all of humanity. When you seclude yourself from the world and claim your separateness, you end all possibility of discovering the benefits of unity. When you turn toward the unity you share with others, greatness follows. May you embrace the consciousness of unity and be the person who awakens the whole of society. My deepest wish is to inspire you to search for unity that ties you to the world and all of its parts. Tools to deepen your experience of this chapter. 1. For an entire day, try to find something you admire in every person you meet. If you want to take this one step further, after you find something you like about another, let them know. 2. Do you spend enough time talking with people face to face? If you interact more on social media, take time for real-time conversations. A good sign that you're out of balance with your phone is when you are visiting someone and during your visit you keep checking your phone or start a conversation on it with somebody else. While visiting someone, it's courteous to keep your phone put away. 3. I challenge you to try to start a conversation with a stranger every time you go out. 4. There are many organizations you can join and volunteer with. Be brave and join one in your community. 5. Dedicate yourself to being kind to everyone you meet. Show others respect by engaging with them in a kind, gentle approach. 6. I challenge you to find time to spend with a senior in your community. And 7. Next time you find yourself condemning or criticizing another, try to catch yourself and change your thoughts by looking for what you can bow to in them.